Life Learnings with Helen and Louise. This is a space where we aim to educate, help and entertain you on all aspects of life. Each week we will be here live to inspire you to take action in your own life. We will bring together a beautiful mix of practical logic and spiritual intuition to help you live life your way. Today we will be talking about how you are doing life and importantly, how are you showing up? So this is a really big topic.
Yeah.
This is a huge topic. And we have spoken for quite some time about this already. And to be honest, we're both a little bit tongue-tied as to where to start. I think because it's so huge. So I suppose the question I'd like to ask you, Lou, is how's life going for you now? How is it, you know, looking, and how are you showing up? Does it feel right?
I guess, you know, being a very, you know, heady person, so much of my, you know, life and journey has been living in my head, you know, and I guess I would equate living in my head to be focused on control. So there's certain, triggers, you know, from a neuro leadership, a coaching perspective, David Rock, who heads up the Neuro Leadership Institute, talks about there's different triggers or different ways people really like to approach, you know, life or thinking or working in teams. Keep up with me here.
Okay.
she's going, what the heck? I know, I can see that look. I know that look. One of my big things is certainty. So being very heady, needing to control, having certainty is really important. Mm-hmm. And when I don't have certainty, or I think this is how things should be going, I kind of struggle and I go into overdrive of doing and being busy.
And do you know what? I don't think you're the only person who does that.
Mm.
I think that most of us get on that treadmill of busy, that treadmill of doing, that treadmill of expectation perhaps that other people have on us, that, you know, we will show up and we will be a particular way or we will behave in a certain way in given any particular situation. So I don't think that is unusual, but if it's okay, I'd like to share a bit of a story about last week, which will probably help understand why we're talking about this, but also why, you know, it's shown up in Lou's life as well, this kind of concept. So let's firstly talk about the movie tickets, because that's related to both of us. So Lou was fortunate enough to be offered some movie tickets, and she invited me along to go to, this is like this whole week, this whole festival, and, you know, there were different movies that we could go and watch. And Lou invited me a week or so ago and said, would you like to come? I said, yeah, that sounds great. And so Lou was away and sent me an email and said, hey, these are the movies that I'd like to go see, you know, on these particular days or these particular sessions. And would I, you know, be interested in any of those particular ones? And I actually replied and I said, you know what, Lou, I'm really not in the right headspace. I don't think I can come with you. I'm really sorry. And that was actually really hard to do, right?
Yeah.
Because, you know, you're invited to something, you're going with a friend and you just want to enjoy it. But at the time, and I'm still kind of on the periphery of it, I suppose, I was just so overwhelmed, so at the end of my sensitivity scale, that to add something else onto it, even if it was going to movies with a friend, was actually going to be too much, and I just couldn't do it.
Yeah.
So thankfully, Lou was okay.
of course. And it was entertaining. Can I add my little bit to that?
Mm-hmm.
It was, and it was so funny because when I got that email where you were going, oh, and there was this little part of me that kind of went, and it sounds awful, but it's okay to say because it's you.
Yeah.
That I was almost a bit relieved because that people pleaser part of me, it was, you know, had been you know, away working with lots of people, then with my parents, and you know, for that week. And it was almost like I really just wanted to go on my own. And so when you said, you know, this is what's right for me right now, you almost, you totally liberated me to go, oh gosh, you know what, I'm feeling totally okay with that. Because there was that part of me going in that doing, oh, I said, yes, I invited you there, but it's like, I'm just in this crazy damn space of the doing that I just go, you know, I don't know whether I want to commit to going to that time or whatever. I just kind of want to evolve and see, you know, the cinema's only down the road from me. So it's kind of like, do I feel like going today? No, I don't. So I'm not going to. And so that's where we really started unpacking this concept to go, how the heck do we get into these doing spaces to go, those triggers that we just start going, okay, well, why the hell?
I think because we have this expectation, like, you know, my good friend has asked me to come to the movies. The tickets were, you know, available. There was, you know, there was a prize, or there was no cost involved in the tickets. And so then there's you know, the asking, would you like to come? And then you've committed, and then you kind of go, oh, but you know what, I actually don't want to now. And it really sounds a little bit well, you feel a bit disrespectful, but also you feel a bit selfish, because I, Helen, am going, oh, I just don't feel up to it. But hey, my good friend Lou's invited me, and so I feel like I really should go. But I think that we're lucky that we're at that point where we can just kind of go, you know what, I said yes, but now I'm saying no. And I don't know if there's a lot of people in our lives who, even if it's our partners, or our siblings, or, you know, our children, even someone we're really close to, where we can actually honestly say, I actually don't really want to do that thing because it's not honoring me. And I think that's part of the difficulty, is we try and show up for other people, but at the same time, we don't really know who we are. And so, you know, going to the movies would have been great, but I knew where I was at the time was just at a space where I just couldn't. Like, I couldn't be out with a lot of people. I couldn't be out with a lot of noise. I couldn't be out with that stimulation. And interestingly, I heard something today. I was listening to a podcast, and this lady works on shifting energy in people's bodies. And she said our heart energy is actually as wide as our arms can reach. So if we reach out... So, you know, I'm about 1.7 meters tall, as is Lou. So that means my heart energy on a good day, can reach out 1.7 meters from my center, you know, around me. So as we sit beside each other here, our heart energies are essentially enclosed in each other's spaces. But of course, that energy can shrink down depending on where we're at in life and how we're feeling and, you know, whether we've got emotional challenges or other things going on for us. But you think of if I'm already at an end of my, let's call it my end of my tether, but, you know, my sensitivities were so high, I just could not go out into a physical space. So now if I go out into a physical space and I've got all of these other people's heart energies interacting with my heart energy, it's going to make sense that I'm going to take that on. And then because I'm so, you know, I absorb energy in that way, it's going to make it even more difficult for me to do what it is I need to do, because now I've got all this stuff that isn't actually mine floating around in my body. I know we've kind of jumped way off on another tangent here, Luke, but it's kind of all related.
So when you're in that space, I guess, so I'm interested to maybe unpack, because, you know, I like to understand how you think, because I can analyze it and go, okay, how do you get to that point? Because that's the thing, you know, when you're very much, you know, heady, and it's like when you're in that space of constantly doing, how do you really get in tune to kind of go, that awareness?
Can't do it anymore. Okay, well, my story is by Friday afternoon last week, I was sitting outside school waiting for our son to come out from class. And I just knew I was literally at the end of my tether. And what that means for me, because I'm quite a sensitive being, is that I felt buzzing inside. I had a headache. I felt like I was moving from one thing to another. So, you know, even if I drove from home to school, for example, I'd be thinking, oh, okay, should I be checking an email, or should I be phoning this person, or should I be, you know, what's going on Facebook, or whatever the situation might be. So I'm constantly wanting, if you like, some stimulation. So then I recognized the signs, I suppose. And I think that's a really important part of this journey. Yeah. Everybody's different, but we need to recognize what our own signs of either doing too much or living in our head or reaching the end of our tether or whatever the word is that you want to use for, you know, your own awareness. But for me, those physical symptoms, so, you know, I could lie down on the floor here and go to sleep right now.
Yeah.
The frazzled edges, the not thinking properly, all of that stuff. And, you know, in isolation, it might be okay, but put it all together and it was like, this is not going well. So firstly, it was recognizing all of that. But secondly, it was putting something into action which allowed all of that to over a period of time dissipate.
Yeah.
So for me, that was saying goodbye to the online world from Friday afternoon to Monday morning. That was a lot of sleep, reading of books, you know, spending time with my family, doing things I wanted to do, not doing things that were expected of me. Because I think it's quite funny. One of the things I did do on the weekend was ironing. I know. Ironing is not my best friend, I can tell you right now. But it was something that at the time I thought, you know, I actually feel like doing this ironing, so I'm going to do it.
Yeah. So what I'm hearing you say is, so it's that doing and the recognition of I'm in this heightened state of either activity or how it feels in your body. So that way you know I'm doing as opposed to in control or whatever.
Mm.
Versus being, you know, flowing. So it sounds like over the course of the weekend, you were able to be.
Yes. And by doing the things that I did over the weekend, which was, you know, the disconnection from the social media, I actually went to like a afternoon yoga session on Sunday. But, you know, sleeping and reading and Epsom salts baths and pretty much just caring for myself. What it did was it swung that pendulum from that hyper arousal where I was a little bit back closer to not that. So whatever the opposite of that is, I don't know. But it is that concept of being versus doing.
Yeah.
And I had it on my wall here for years. A beautiful friend of mine, Susan Pierce, whose business is Mind Gardener, was presenting it something ages ago, and she spoke about the concept of be, do, outcome. And the problem is that most of us get caught up in the do outcome, do outcome, do outcome. Got to write this blog post to get the outcome of the readers to my website. Got to wash up the kitchen, or got to get the groceries, or whatever the do is.
The busy.
Yeah. To get whatever the outcome is that you think you're going to get from said doing. But what I recognized last Friday was that I was doing all this stuff and there was no outcome. I was losing control anyway. Yeah. So you've already said, Lou, the concept of doing is us controlling. But I was doing and I'd lost control.
Mm.
So there really is no other way than to just step back and go, I really need to stop and get off this treadmill myself.
Yes.
And give yourself permission to do that, regardless of what's going on around you. I think it's really important.
And I think it's about, you know, you highlighted earlier, and I guess this is some of the things that I noticed over the course of my week as well, has been, what are these triggers? Like you said, it's that identifying what are the triggers. And for me, I know my big three, people pleasing.
Tick.
Oh, dear Lord. People pleasing. Perfectionism. mm-hmm. and procrastination. And, mm-hmm. you know, the procrastination kicks in because either I've said, yes, I'm going to do all of this stuff, and then I get overwhelmed and I go, oh, my gosh, I don't know where to begin. So then I'm spinning my wheels and freaking out. And, mm-hmm. you know, it's – and then that – and I notice the concept of that people-pleasing – really kicking in multiple interactions with people and with friends and whatever else, and you just go and then today even it was even these little things, and seeing how it manifests is very much you know, like you were saying, I'm like ticking yes, you know, the scattered thinking, it's you know, how can I distract myself from actually being in this moment and going, okay, I don't feel real good right now, but I'm trying to distract. So it was, you know, okay, I noticed that. So as soon as I did, I was driving, turned the radio off just to kind of create that space and that pause to go, I'm decreasing the distractions because I'm so quick to rush and fill that space because it's anxious for me.
And also, I know we spoke about this before we came on air, the concept that we fill that space because if we actually allow ourselves to sit in the space, we're going to have realizations of things that we may not want to acknowledge, things we may not want to face.
Hell yeah.
Because in the doing, we feel like we can control it, but in the being, we actually have to allow. We have to be open. And I, you know, just that example of driving around in the car without the radio on, I do it all the time because I feel like it's my only little safe space of nothingness other than getting from A to B. So I suppose the question is, how, in your thoughts, how can we be more in the B or the being? Big one, I know.
Traditionally a doer. I'm a human doing. How many times I have said that, you know, it's that realization, moving from a human doing in order to become a human being. And at the moment I'm triggered back into that human doing. So, you know, and I've been going, you know, really great. Like, and that's the thing, I need to know my triggers. So I think that's the first thing. What the heck are your triggers that go, And you said it beautifully, you know, I know how this feels in my body. I know the signs, and I guess that's certainly some of the things. So that's that first thing, isn't it? It's what are your unique triggers? They might be similar to, you know, what we've talked about. And it's that moment where you're going, what am I, like, it's either you're trying to avoid something, you're trying to control something, or there's some sort of thing about not being okay with things going AWOL. You know what I mean?
Oh, totally. I totally get that. And, you know, the thing that was coming to me as you said that was about the concept of understanding those triggers in ourselves, but also sharing those triggers with people close to us so that they have a greater awareness of how we might react in a situation. And I'll give you a really crazy little story, if you don't mind. This is going back quite some years ago now. So let's say our son was about 5 or 6 and we were in at South Bank in Brisbane, and there's all these different restaurants and so on, and it was lunchtime. And we walked into this space. It was really busy, hugely busy, and they had these big boards up above the serving area with the menu on it. So hubby was looking at the menu and deciding what he wanted, and I was talking to our 5-6-year-old who couldn't read, you know, a massive board at the time, and was trying to help him work out what he wanted to get to eat. So in the meantime, hubby had decided what he wanted to eat, and I'd helped our son work out what he wanted to eat. And hubby turned to me and he said, so what do you want, Helen? That was it. I was literally triggered into overwhelm, exhaustion, hyper arousal. You know, my sensitivities went through the roof because what was going on around me was just too much at the time. And I know it might sound like a really funny little story, but after that particular situation, I was able to say, once we'd got our meals and we were sitting down and we were eating, I could turn to hubby and I could go, okay, this is what happened in that situation for me. And it really didn't feel comfortable.
Yeah.
And this is what I would really like next time. So it does take an awful lot of self-awareness, I think.
Yes.
To know firstly what your triggers are, you know, being willing to sit in the uncomfortableness of the being, because that's also where the growth happens, but also allowing other people in our lives to know that, you know, these are the things that I'm doing or this is how I'm presenting. And, you know, if I kind of go off the edge with something, there is a really valid reason behind it. Like for me last Friday, there'd been about a month of stress that led up to that point. And during that period of time, I'd been noticing, acknowledging, gifting myself what I knew I needed. But I'd got to a point where it just was not working anymore and I needed to, you know, kind of close the door on
disconnect.
That thing to move forward. Yeah.
So what I'm really interested in understanding more about is you have... I guess I think you're a great example of, you know, being intuitive, being in tune, then living in your head and then falling back into, you know, an intuitive, like, you know, way of being. And I guess, you know, a lot of people say, you know, are you, you know, in your head or in your heart? And, you know, I struggle with trying to understand, you know, that as a concept. So then I go, okay, well, for me, it's about human being versus doing. How have you navigated that?
That is such a good question. And, you know, the thing that's actually coming to me is my aura colors.
Fantastic. So, love it.
So I know my aura colors and I know the five colors. Yeah. That are, you know, and when I first discovered or learned, was gifted my aura colors, one of them was massive, 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 massive. And all the others were like these tiny little pinpricks. And the massive one was the head, right? It was the thinking. But there's good stuff in the head.
Yes,
you know, like,
absolutely.
You know, amazing things happen in our head, right? Also, non-amazing things happen in our head.
Yeah.
But amazing things happen in our head. But so that particular aura color was massive. And then the other ones were really tiny.
Yeah.
But what I was blessed to do, besides going on retreat and, you know, learning more about what lights me up as a person, which has led through to, you know, changes in my personal and professional life. But I now look at those other aura colors and I go, okay, what are the traits of those other aura colors?
Hmm.
And there is one color in there which is really a heart-centered color. And there's probably another one as well which has a little bit of that element to it. But, you know, there's creativity in there. There's connecting with people on a heart level. It's accepting people for who they are on a heart level. It's accepting me for who I am on a heart level. So I know that everyone doesn't know their aura colours and you can't just go down to the corner shop and it may not even interest you to find out what your aura colours are. But to help answer your question, what I do now is when I get stuck, like I did last Friday, in that colour, which was monster colour years ago, I'm aware of it and I go, okay, well, what are the other elements that make me up? Okay, so, you know, I love reading. I love...
Yep.
doing Pilates and yoga. I love being out in nature. You know, I quite like singing, but I'm not very good at it. But, you know, I like putting on, Ed Sheeran's my favorite, and, you know, I just put him on and I'll sing him all day, every day in the car. But, you know, I know what those other elements or aspects of me are. And I still know that more of those will appear as I get older, but also that I need to connect in with those even more. So, for example, a couple of years ago, I wanted to make something with my hands that made me go to something once a week to create something over time.
Yep.
I didn't say what that thing was. I just put it out to the universe. And then a few months later, a class came up where I ended up making a beautiful sculpture over 6 months. That's something I'd never done before. And yes, I've made things with my hands, but not in that particular way. So that got me, like, I went for 2 hours. It was a class of beautiful women that my friend Katrina ran. And they all knew each other, they were all friends, and they were friendly to me as well. They were lovely ladies. And they'd chatter away, but I'd often just sit there for 2 hours, hardly say a word, and just do my work. And that really got me into that heart space of creation or creativity. Mm. So, you know, there's a lot there around the aura colors. But, you know, even if you don't know those, you know, I know that you will, you know, other aspects of your personality that really allow you to be.
Yeah.
Right? Whether it's dancing or cooking or being with your family and friends. Like, there's all these other elements. So I think it's really important to continually reconnect in with those, because I think as our world gets busier, it's harder.
You know, and what I'm hearing you say is such a really good flip, because it's like when we can get to that point of it's the external focus can often get us off track. So then it's that going, that internal focus to go, what are the things that helps me to connect in with my soul or the essence of me as a person, or those things that bring joy, to create that connection to who you are at the deepest level, or just trying to think about those things, because that can be tricky sometimes, especially if you're in that, you know, giving space to go, you know, you serve, you connect, you're there to support others. And often, and I think that's the thing in the work that we've done with many clients, is that so many of our clients are supporters.
Totally. They're supporting everybody else, whether it's their partner or their children or their parents or at work, in the workplace, supporting their staff or their boss or whatever that looks like. And it's time to flip that around to support ourselves. And that is, I believe, totally not being selfish. It's selfish not to do it, because then you can't show up how you need to show up in the world.
Yeah. So when we think about the human doing versus human being, I think some of the things that we've really highlighted, I guess if we process map it, because I like to process it. So that first step is almost when you recognize, so one is like getting clear on the triggers, knowing what the hell they are, because that's going to flip you.
And knowing them before time.
Before time, exactly. And I was having this conversation with a friend over the weekend where they said, you need to identify the triggers. That way you've got a game plan to get out of that. You know, that you can start to sense, oh gosh, I'm heading down that path. And then it's like, okay, what are they? Because when you're in that moment, unless you've got them in your little toolkit to kind of pull out and go, okay, I recognize I'm doing this. You don't have the line. You don't have, or, you know, the little statement. You don't have a little strategy just to go, whoa. I'm feeling this heightened state. And I think, you know, there's some of the things that I've started to notice is that, like, I get very, my breathing is shallow. I tend to be more at the upper chest level. And that's where I go, okay, well, either, you know, what are those things that will help me to kind of get sit in so I can feel in my body as opposed to head and that. So knowing what those triggers are before, ahead of time. So that's like, you know, get a piece of paper out going, okay, what, and think of those scenarios. That's what you were saying.
And what, where can I put myself which is okay, and where can I put myself which is not okay? That should go on your list as well, because that will help you identify the triggers in a particular space. And also want to say how you might be feeling on any given day. I went to the shopping center today. I came home. It was just, I had a headache and it was just awful. But any, maybe another day if I went, I don't feel like that. So it's being really aware of how you're feeling physically, emotionally, spiritually before you then go into a place. So that, and then if you are triggered, you then know, because you've got your list or you've done your list or you know, you're aware enough of what's going on, that you know what to do.
And I think when you're able to, you know, always remember, you know, when writing media releases, funnily enough, you know, you do your traditional who, what, when, where, why, how, when.
Mm.
So in that process, if you've got something like that you can follow, you know, is it a who? You know, are there certain people? You know, when, how? You might not know the why you're triggered, but you're just trying to answer any of those things to go to get that color. You know, it's like, you know, getting that outline.
Mm.
And then you can color it in as you go. But it's really just trying to go, what does this look like, feel like, smell like?
Mm.
To then be able to go, okay, how do I get into that B? Because then you can actually look at that and go, wow, how am I doing life? How am I showing up?
Mm. And I think it gives you permission then to accept other people for where they're at.
Yes.
If you're feeling okay.
Yeah.
And together in yourself. We all have to be in situations which don't necessarily light us up, which don't allow us to be who we are. But at the same time, if we can stand as strongly as we can in that positioning for ourselves, we then give permission for other people to show up in that way as well. And I really feel, you know, we live in a city that's got a million and something people in it. Yep. I don't know. But I think it's quite difficult, I find, in the city to be able to show up and be who I am easily. And maybe that, I mean, I've got my group of friends and, you know, I love hanging out with them. It's in other situations where I might go and it just feels uncomfortable. So it's, you know, having those mechanisms to realize, you know, I don't need to be here for, you know, the 5 hours if this event's 5 hours, or, you know, whatever the thing is, knowing them, being aware of them, and then also being willing to implement them. Because if you're not willing to kind of go, you know what, I've got to go offline for the weekend, or I've got to get myself out of this space now, or this job really isn't for me and I'm not going to stand, you know, this workplace whatever anymore, like if you're not willing to back yourself in your being, then unfortunately you will start to perhaps have physical symptoms that over time will get worse. You know, you need to back yourself.
Mm.
It's a really tricky one. It's not the easiest thing to do on the planet at all. At all. If anything, I find it really hard. But the more that I've worked in the area that I have been working in around sanctuary, the more easy it has become, because I know really well where I comfortably sit in my own being. And so that doesn't mean I don't get caught in the doing. It just means that I can hopefully bring myself back a little bit better, I think.
Well, that makes sense, because what you've done over time is, and that's where, you know, the brain is the most energy efficient device. It prefers well-worn pathways. So that's why when we're trying to go from, you know, that human doing, that's our autopilot. That's just, we know how to do doing. And when we're trying to be in that being space, it's uncomfortable. We have these conversations. We're worried about, oh, if we actually choose to say no, or if we choose to whatever, there's that fear. Your limbic system kicks in and go, oh, but you're going to get left behind by the tribe. You're going to die. As opposed to going, this is uncomfortable.
Yes.
But you're going to be okay.
You're going to be all right.
Going to be okay.
Yeah, that's the thing, isn't it? You will be okay. And the thing I just wanted to add, because we'll probably have to go, because we've been talking for quite some time. But the thing I just wanted to quickly add to that was, we have been doing since we've been born. You know, we've had our parents or whoever our main caregiver was telling us to do stuff. You know, put your shoes on, you've got to get out the door, or pack your lunchbox, or have you done your assignment, or, you know, have you paid the bill, or whatever the thing is that, you know, we've always done something and we've always been told to do things. And this is a topic for a totally other Life Learnings with Helen and Louise. But I think we really need to teach our children this as well. All right, well, I think we might have to call it there at an end, Lou. What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely.
We could talk about this for such a long time. I think you can see that. It's an important concept, and hopefully you've picked up some tips from us tonight. So thank you for being here. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Life Learnings with Helen and Louise. Take care, and we look forward to connecting with you again really soon on our next episode. Bye for now.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.